Hello, we are back with another one of those block rockin' beats here on the Strong Style Story podcast. I am the host, Jeffrey Wessel. Chris DiMassimo was not able to join us today. However, we have our usual third chair analyst, Steve Cash, is back with us this time. Hey, Steve, how's it going?
I'm alive. That is what is important.
So what happened? You couldn't make it last time because the internet at were you staying at Sam's Town in Vegas or?
No, actually, that was the original plan, but unfortunately, things did not work out. So we ended up staying at the Silverton, which was fine, other than there was really poor Wi-Fi connection, to the point that I didn't even bother using it.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I mean, when you're traveling, sometimes that's a bit much to ask. I was just curious if you did end up staying at Sam's Town because you did hear the story that Kushida told that Tomohiro Ishii got stuck in an elevator for an hour and a half.
Oh, well, I actually haven't heard of this.
Oh yeah, but yeah, I guess well he during that whole excursion, he got stuck in an elevator for an hour and a half, and reading the Twitter feed, it was a lot of people were saying, "Oh, yep, I can see that because a lot of these older casino hotels in Vegas have really poor internal infrastructure, and things like
Yeah.
this happen all the time."
I would love to see the CCTV for that. Just Ishii just bemused in an elevator trying to figure the thing out.
There were pics. I did see pics. It was on somebody's Instagram account. I don't remember whose, but so yeah. So that happened. So how was Vegas?
I mean, it was Vegas. I'm assuming most that are listening to this have been there once in their life. It's exactly how you remember it. It's bright lights. Everything is priced up like three times.
Yeah.
Probably more. Yeah, a lot of $30 buffets, which I couldn't even imagine paying $30 for a buffet. But overall,
I have done the $30. I actually well, the buffets I remember. I think I paid like 10 or 15. But
well, there
yeah,
you go.
still. But depends on where you go, I guess.
See, that's more my style.
Did you hear the last show we did?
I listened to the first half of it, but I didn't get to finish it.
Okay, so you so. So you heard me complain at length about the booking of
Oh yeah, the TV
the title.
title.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really a situation that you would think that they could just remedy it immediately, but they seem to be making it worse.
Right, and I mean, and Ishii, was already out of the New Japan Cup, which of course we'll be recapping here at length shortly, but yeah, so there's no real reason why Ishii couldn't have gone over for the Ring of Honor show yesterday, but Kushida goes over and, by the way, spoiler, successfully defends the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title against ACH last night in Philadelphia in Ring of Honor. But yeah, so now you have the belt that was designed so that it was defended every TV taping. That's why you have a television title, as far as I remember. I mean, it's the old tradition of so you have a belt that was defended once a week on TV, back in the old days. So now you have it here, and it's in Ishii's hands, and who knows when the next time he's going to be coming over? Because so far he's not listed for the Super Card of Honor, and that's happening in the middle of, the Road to Invasion attack. Tour, including a show at Korakuen. So I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, well, Ishii was perplexed by the very concept of the title, and at this point, I'm kind of there too, because you're right. The television title was meant to be defended on television, so I don't really understand what they're doing. It's just a title, but so maybe we're overthinking it.
Well, true that, but I mean, and I just thought I don't know, but I mean, anyway, tell me how the show or shows were live, because of course I watched it, I watched it at home, and I think the biggest takeaway I had was the first two matches were kind of eh, it picked up, and then the crowd just died after Omega Young Bucks versus Kushida, ACH, and Saitama six man.
As far as a live perspective, the crowd was there mostly to see the New Japan guys, and I would say the upper echelon of ROH guys like the Briscoes and Jay Lethal, but mostly they were there for the New Japan guys. You really noticed it during the BJ Whitmer Adam Cole match, or not Adam Cole, Adam Page. God, I made that mistake live.
Oh boy.
But
Bit of a difference, yeah.
But you really noticed it during that match because the crowd was just, crapping all over it. And I mean, granted, it's a BJ Whitmer match, so it's to be expected. But a lot
Yeah,
of
right.
"Who are you?" I almost felt bad for Adam Page because he worked hard. And BJ Whitmer, for what it's worth, he worked hard too.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, that whole program with Whitmer and Corinos has gone on way too long to have absolutely zero payoff to date. But
Yeah,
it,
not to get into too much ROH talk, but I don't know
yeah,
what they're gonna do
exactly.
there.
But yeah, anyway, so yeah, I'm still very irritated with, the whole thing with giving Ishii the TV title, especially since it completely borked a running program between Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, and now I've seen that they've announced at the Super Card of Honor, during WrestleMania weekend, that they're going to do a best 2 out of 3 falls match with absolutely nothing on the line. So brilliant. There's a payoff for you.
Well, I mean, I guess you could set up a challenger, but your overall sentiment is correct.
Yeah.
Just kind of seems like they forked at some point, but they're still going with their original plan.
Yeah, which, at this point makes it completely meaningless. But anyway, you're right. We're spending way too much time on Ring of Honor booking when we just had a pretty decent New Japan Cup tournament just wrap up here. If happened yesterday morning, and of course, Tetsuya Naito beat Hirooki Goto in the final and will now challenge Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight title at Invasion Attack on April the 10th from Tokyo Ryogoku Kokugigan. You can tell it's been a while since I've had to say that word, say that phrase, from Sumo Hall, let's just say.
There you go.
So, overall impressions of the New Japan Cup, the New Japan Cup shows, obviously we didn't get to see any of the spot shows, but they were all, kind of Young Lion and tag matches anyway. But yeah, I mean, first of all, yeah, we did kind of call Naito winning it all.
Yeah, it seemed like the logical pick.
Yeah, well, it really does. I mean, especially since, you could tell since the Honor Rising shows that that's what they've been booking towards, because they finally put Naito and Okada against each other for the first time since Naito went in Gobernables. But yeah, so I mean, I really think that the tournament more or less went as predicted by us. There was a few differences here, which I, unfortunately not able to mock Chris for directly, like calling Honma over Kojima.
Yeah,
But
that.
then again, I think I also called Makabe. I think we both also called Makabe over Tama Tonga. So
That was the big surprise, I thought.
that was a bit of a surprise. It just seems odd now that both the both the tag champs, got jobbed out in the in this tournament.
I kind of thought they were setting up like more than one, teams to challenge. Maybe Tenkoji and then Tama Tonga, and as we're going to talk about, Camacho.
Yeah.
But it seems like they're going in a different direction with Kojima, as we'll talk about.
Yeah, well, they kind of hinted at that too, because now that Shibata has signed a his own 1 year deal with New Japan, which I didn't realize he was still freelance at this point. I thought that at this point he was a full vested member of the promotion, but shows what I know.
Yeah, I think they advertised that like he had formally joined the roster last year, or maybe sometime last year. But But I guess this was him officially signing a contract paper.
They made Michael Elgin's contract official too, which we already talked about. If we want to dovetail for a second, we talk about the announcements that they made on the first day of the show. We've already just talked about Shibata and Elgin. They're also bringing back the anime of Tiger Mask, which of course Tiger Mask was the prototypical wrestling character who started off as a manga and then moved into the real world to surprising results. This is the model that Jushin Liger would also follow, because Jushin Liger was a concept created by the immortal Go Nagai, who's created quite a lot of pop culture staples nowadays. Go Nagai did. He's created, the piloted mecha, the magical girl concept was all him. But now, and he also created Jushin Liger. But yeah, they're bringing back Tiger Mask. The picture they showed had an anime version of Okada staring down Tiger Mask. But I mean, we don't know much if this is going to be like a full TV anime or just like a 5-minute flash shorts. I don't know if you've heard anything.
No, they didn't announce anything other than they're bringing back the Tiger Mask anime. I would assume it's going to be on TV Asahi, because that only makes sense.
Yeah, somewhere in my collection, I have an ancient copy of Shonen. I think it was. I don't think it was Shonen Jump. I think it was Shonen Sunday, that had it has an episode of Tiger Mask in it. And Abdullah the Butcher makes an appearance in there, and the color page lead in had photos of Inoki against Abdullah the Butcher.
Wow, that's crazy. So but they did that a lot back in the day, just referencing kind of tells you how big of mainstream stars that guys like Abby and Bruiser Brody were.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I remember there was there was a book about manga that I have that Fred Schott wrote back in the 80s, and there was a panel from Tiger Mask in there, and it actually predicted Jun Kasai to an extent, because there was the picture in there showed a luchador who named himself Golgotha Cross. And his gimmick was that he was a masked luchador, but in the middle of the ring was a cross with spikes on it.
Oh my goodness!
Like, so it predicted So whoever the mangaka was, who I can't remember off the top of my head, he predicted Jun Kasai, basically.
That's amazing.
But in the most amazing bit of prescient news, was the announcement of the Super J Cup returning, which that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually put the Tiger Mask announcement above this, but the Super J Cup, is a big announcement considering who they got to participate.
Yeah, the Super J Cup is supposed to be returning on August the 21st at the Ariake Coliseum. Looks like it's going to be a one night tournament. It's going to be in participation with Ring of Honor, NOAH, CMLL, the usual partners that New Japan's worked with, but also Pro Wrestling 01, Kaintai Jojo, an indie promotion called Ryukyu Dragon Pro, who I'm not familiar with, Suzuki Gun, who I guess they're now officially considering themselves their own group.
Well, it's an organization. It kind of falls in line with their gimmick.
Well, it does, but they're they're still New Japan contracted wrestlers, though.
Well, you're not supposed to know that.
Oh, right, right, of course. And Dragon Gate is going to be participating in this.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, that's going to be. I mean, if you're going to go for that style of wrestling, the Dragon Gate, you do worse to go through Dragon Gate. But yeah, I think, the sad irony, of course, is that they announced the, Super J Cup on the same day that Hayabusa died. which well, he didn't have too much dealings with New Japan, so we're gonna, but in the broad spectrum of as a human being, yeah, that Hayabusa Eiji Iwazaki dying far too soon at the age of 47 after
Very sad.
everything he had gone through and everything he'd overcome. But yeah, it's that was a bit of a kick in the teeth to hear that.
Yeah, and I was really surprised that they didn't do a 10-bell salute on the next New Japan show.
They might be saving it for Super J Cup because of
That's
course
what I'm thinking.
because of course you know that was where Hayabusa first really broke out in the consciousness.
Exactly.
And a lot of people and I remember seeing comments saying that Hayabusa was one of the most instrumental people in getting people into Japanese pro wrestling. I'm going to say for fans of a certain age, such as myself, I'm going to put Hayabusa as number two behind either, and we can make the argument of either Jushin Liger or the Great Muta.
He would be definitely up there because he is as far as you would get Muta and you would get Liger from watching WCW, but as far as someone that immediately catches your attention, Hayabusa is up there. You know, if personally speaking, he was this is before the age of YouTube and just readily available matches, but you would read about all these, and same goes for Onita and most of FMW as a whole, but all these explosion matches, and it created this lore about him.
Yeah, they were well. Well, Striga and Bahu did a special podcast on the fly, and yeah, the Bahu made that point too. Is that in the days before, I mean, before FMW even had TV, but it was in Weekly Gong and Weekly Pro Res. Yeah, the photos of FMW and Hayabusa and the explosion death matches with Onita really did create this sort of mythology behind it. But anyway, so I mean, we are sidetracking, but I did want to discuss Hayabusa, somewhat, especially since in light of the fact that they did announce the return of the Super J Cup. So, moving on, of course, we also know that there's also a new member of Chaos coming from that first show, and it's British wrestler Will Ospreay, which we already knew he was coming in. I just kind of figured he would be part of Bullet Club.
I don't know. It kind of falls in line with Chaos's, recent, losses, give or take. So I think Osprey kind of is a good boost, shot in the arm for them.
Yeah, well, and Will Ospreay is incredible. If you go to New Japan World, the most readily available relevant match is you can see a match between Ospreay and Okada that was just from last October that was just incredible. I mean, have you seen that one or
Yes, that match is phenomenal. Like
it
I
was.
okay. Wait, actually, it was your tweet. Didn't you tweeted about it, didn't you?
Extensively, yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, I actually went and watched it, and yeah, it was phenomenal. I haven't seen a lot of Ospreay, I'm ashamed to admit, but just a couple of matches I've seen, he lives up to the hype,
Yeah,
and it's gonna be interesting to see where he goes.
he really does it live up to the hype. And I think yeah, he and Kushida are gonna have a great match whenever that if that happens. I mean, his debut is set for Invasion Attack, but they haven't officially made the match yet between Kushida and Ospreay. But that's gonna be. I mean, I'm starting to kind of worry about the whole booking of the junior title. Where they get in this hot junior, and then they immediately hot shot him to a challenge of the junior title. Because I mean, they did that with Kenny Omega. Ricochet wasn't so much hot shotted, but he won, Best of Super Junior in 2014.
I think if they had more opportunities to use him, they probably would have put the.
Yeah, maybe, but. Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, we'll see though. I mean, it's gonna be. I mean, it's still. I mean, it's gonna be a great match. I'm just unsure about hot-shotting him to the title. to a title
Well,
shot, I should say.
I think by now that they figured out they can easily introduce a unknown but really good worker, and in just a couple of matches, if not one match, she can easily get over. I think that's the formula that they know and the formula that they're sticking to. It's worked with AJ, it's worked with Kenny to an extent, but he's put in the time, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, so moving on, yeah, so that was all in the first round. Boy, that day was just packed with everything. Toriano with the win over Takahashi had me rolling.
It was amusing for the length it lasted.
It was, and it actually kind of made a certain amount of sense too. Elgin, they're getting over. They got him pretty over by having him defeat, not only Tenzan, but then Bad Luck Fale the next day in resounding fashion. Now, mind you, Elgin getting up Fale for that powerbomb is nowhere near as the accomplishment that Yuji Okabayashi did against Ryota Hama in Big Japan. About a month
No,
back, a month or so back,
no kidding.
but it had that kind of a it had that kind of feel though, because you notice that Elgin couldn't do his usual, delayed suplex spot with Fale.
It was pretty bold to the way they booked him, putting him against Tenzan, who probably could break at any moment, and then Fale,
Yeah.
who, I mean, let's admit it, he's not the most mobile wrestler, but I thought they both matches turned out good.
Yeah, actually, I didn't. I actually, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Fale, but yeah, Elgin and Fale, I didn't mind so much, to be honest. I thought it was a pretty decent match of, two big guys, which sometimes it's a coin flip on those.
Yeah, Elgin, he's really strong and he's actually really agile, and it helps the fans like him.
It does, yeah, and this certainly didn't hurt his standing any. Yeah, Kojima, of course, went over Honma, Tonga over Makabe, Goto over Nagata. That was actually the one I had a coin flip on. Because I thought that, with the noise that they were making about the third generation rising again,
So much for that.
yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we'll see, because, for reasons we'll discuss. Naito against Yoshihashi, we saw that one coming from a mile away. Ishii over Evil. I thought that was a good match.
Actually, I was very surprised by how good that was. Not very surprised, but
That might have
Evil.
been Evil's best match so far.
Yeah, Evil had something to prove, and gosh darn, he proved it.
Yeah, he did. And Fale, then went over Tanahashi, like we already kind of spoiled. So then the next night on at Korakuen Hall, Elgin beat Fale, like we already said. Goto over Tonga. That match I thought was kind of a. I thought that match was a surprise too. I thought for a minute they may have actually been putting Tonga over on that one.
Yeah, I actually share your thinking in that, just with the recent booking of Goto, and that he probably would have failed at some point, and eventually he did. But
Yes.
yeah, same here. I thought Tama was gonna pull it out. I just had this feeling that Goto was gonna fail, and but yeah, Tama looked good. Goto looked better. I don't know. I read that comment that Yamazaki made about how he keeps saying he's gonna change, but he's not showing it, and now I can't help but not, I'm always thinking that now when I watch him. So, but this is one of those matches where he showed a little bit more. And as we talked about in the main event, yeah, or as we will talk about in the main event, he started to show, whether this is intentional or not, he is starting to show, a little bit more.
Yeah, Toriano, of course, wins with the Greco-Roman shot to the nuts with the scientific hair pull on Satoshi Kojima,
Oh yeah.
and then Naito and Ishii. That was a good one. I was very pleased with Naito against Ishii. Not just the result, but it was a good match.
Oh yeah, it was phenomenal. A lot of interference, but that you come to expect that from Los Ingobernables.
Yeah, you do. And again, for some reason though, I'm finding this less irritating than, the scads of Bullet Club hordes interfering. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just biased because I've been pretty pretty well into the whole Ingobernables shtick, but in a way that I never was with Bullet Club. But it's yeah, it's been entertaining.
It helps that it feels fresh.
It kind of does in a way, and of course, I'm also biased because I also like the fact that Bushi is now this generation's mist spitter. Because Tajiri's getting up there now, and who knows how much longer Keiji Muto actually has. So it's good that we have one taking on this generation. We need to keep tradition alive somehow.
The mist spewing tradition.
That's right. You have to.
That's true. I'm with you.
You have to. So do we? Yeah, the rest of the shows were just spot tag matches. So moving on to the final from yesterday, and yeah, there's a lot of challenges being laid down yesterday. Naito beat Toriano, kind of played Toriano at his own game, in fact, which is kind of nice. I mean, I think Toriano's hilarious, but yeah, I mean, eventually someone has to beat him at his own game too.
Exactly, yeah.
And why not? The most up and coming of Rudo group in all of in the entire business. Goto and Elgin, that was another one. Again, I thought I maybe thought for a minute there Elgin was going to go over.
I have the exact same feeling. Like, I hate to keep counting out Goto, because I feel like he worked hard overall, but every time I thought he was gonna lose.
Yeah, well, that Falcon Arrow Elgin pulled off.
Beautiful.
That was, that was there's your Hayabusa tribute right there, was doing that. That was insane.
Yeah.
I had to admire that. In between, before the final match, Kojima and Tenkoji beat Shibata and Taguchi, and then Kojima lays out Shibata and it makes a challenge for the Never Belt. So there's your third generation, and they've been kind of hinting the whole time, this whole tour, that Shibata and the third generation were kind of at odds. I'm not sure what the root of that is, but
Maybe some pent up frustration from Shibata. Maybe the third generation took some liberties with, raising him, because they were the generation responsible for training him.
Right.
So I'm sure that's sort of the storyline. But correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't they hinting that Nagata was going to be the one to challenge? So do we have like more than one challenger in place?
They kind of did. They kind of hinted that. I think it was on the March 4th show from Korakuen. Seemed like Nagata and Shibata got into it a little bit, but now I guess they moved it over to Kojima. Because the next match was Okada and Sakuraba, doing away with Nagata and Nakanishi. Nakanishi just looked like he was gonna fall over at any second in that
Yeah, he
match.
just very top heavy.
Well, it's not only no, not that. I mean, yeah, top heavy and clogged arteries.
Oh, no, I actually, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
And I was watching it with, I watched the show twice yesterday, and the second time I was watching it with my honey, and she said that Nakanishi just had, right at the, right when the bell rang, Nakanishi just had this vacant look on his face, like he wasn't all there.
No, I was just gonna say that all Nakanishi was thinking about was dinner.
Yeah, though. Yeah, he's moving to his next pick of a table full of food.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, do you follow him and have you seen how much food he eats in a sitting?
I don't follow him, but I have seen some of the pics, and my Lord, that's yeah
It's
that
absurd.
that's yeah. But I mean, just Yeah, Nakanishi was not all there yesterday. I'm sorry. I have to say, and I've never been a fan of him anyway. So yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind burying Nakanishi too much on this, but yeah, he.
Well, he definitely needs to be like in the opening match.
Well, that's usually where he
And
is, but
maybe
you know.
why did he stay there? This was like what, six on the card?
Yeah, this is like a not the this is like the quarter main event, not the semi main, but the quarter main.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, well, I mean they had to fill time somewhere. Of course, you know Okada was you know the yeah it was yeah that yeah he I mean Nakanishi didn't even take that Rainmaker very well, I didn't think. Like, he just kind of fell
Oh, no, it
other
was
than
terrible.
yeah. I hate to say it. Tenryu took the Rainmaker better than Nakanishi, and Tenryu has legit reasons why he can't move. You know?
God, when you actually compare the two, it actually a good case for Nakanishi should retire.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, we, yeah. When Tenryu looked better against Okada than Nakanishi did, then it's time to it's time to go. Following that. The following that what am I and now I lost concentration. Oh, the Bullet Club against they took out Tanahashi, Makabe, and Honma, and then Tonga reveals the mystery Bullet Club member is his brother, Tevita Fafita, otherwise known as Camacho from WWE. He said another name too. I couldn't make it out.
Right now I'm blanking.
I mean, he said it when he made his speech. Of course, one of the websites also said that he actually debuted at that show. I was like, where? I've watched this twice and haven't seen him. Did I miss something? Was he actually there or?
He wasn't at the show.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly didn't see anybody there.
You would think if he was there, they would have brought him out.
Yeah, you think. You know, put him on the camera and have him in the ring and all that, but yeah, they're definitely trying to set up I mean I still think that when the time comes Makabe and Honma are going to retain, but they're definitely trying to make it seem like they're setting up GBH for failure here.
Well, considering the recent booking, I would assume they're going to retain, but I can't help but have, given their history of booking, they like to put the title on Gaijin teams and just kind of leaving it there for a while. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but Makabe and Honma are actually are over way beyond what I thought they would be.
Yeah. I mean, the momentum's on their side, so they need to stick with them, but we'll see.
Yeah.
They do like the hotshot titles to get people over, as we've
Yeah.
seen.
The, yes, as we've seen. Yeah, as we already discussed too, for that matter. But the final match was Tetsuya Naito defeating. Finally defeating Hirooki Goto. That was a good match. It wasn't the greatest match,
Yeah,
but it
I
was a
thought so
good
too.
match. I mean, I enjoyed it. Excuse me.
I thought it was slow for the first 10 minutes or so, but the last 15, 20 really picked up. Like, the crowd made it very interesting because I thought they were going, I would say 80-20 for Naito. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't know. I think they had to work a little bit to make they had to work a little bit to make it so that Naito got over as a heel, because I mean you
Yeah.
could hear the booing whenever the Ingobernables started messing with Goto, you know, Evil and Bushi.
Yeah.
So they had kind of had to work for it, but you know Japanese fans don't. I really don't think that they do the traditional heel face shtick like we do.
No,
I
not at
really
all.
don't think they do. But in any event, I mean this is the right way that they need to go for a few reasons. Number one, Ingobernables are, you know, let's face it, they are, despite the Bullet Club, despite Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Let's say I think Ingobernables are more over than Bullet Club as a Rudo army at this point.
I think it's definitely seeming that way. The luster is off the for Bullet Club. They've lost a lot of momentum, given after AJ's departure.
Yeah, they did. I mean, and now, all the founders are gone too,
Exactly.
because Anderson left.
And there's more talk about the Elite than the actual Bullet Club.
Yeah, there is. And well, that's because the rest of it's 'cause the Elite are more, social media savvy than perhaps the rest of the Bullet Club are.
I can't wait for New Day and Bullet Club, or the Elite.
Yeah, well, when yeah. However and whenever that's going to happen.
The hype begins.
I mean, we are guessing that we're just talking video game challenges at this point, because there's no way in hell that that's going to happen, at anyone's show. So
Well, you saw what that comment that, or I guess it's more of a statement that Kenny made, explaining his challenge. I don't know. He basically said that he didn't know if he was going to get in trouble for, all those challenges and stuff, but he wants to change the concept of pro wrestling and I guess make it more open bordered and, if the fans want it, they should get it. So I'm sure he's just kind of him-hawing and playing up his character, but it was interesting. And
yeah, I mean.
given recent events in wrestling, stateside and in Japan, who knows what we'll see in the next 5 years.
True that. Yeah, it's in a constant state of change here. Constant state of chaos, you might say. Ha ha, ha ha ha. But anyway, okay, moving on from
Let's
bad
get yeah,
comedy.
let's get back to Tony Goto.
Yeah, so yeah, and yeah, well, right now I think New Japan needs to make a star once, a new star, or at least get a new star started every tour. So I guess this year, this time it was Naito who went on there. Goto, I didn't think looked so bad against Okada, at the New Beginning shows. But now, Evil made his way up. I mean, he kind of, stepped up this time. Ishii is getting over, so I still think we're okay. They're not, superstar level yet, but they're getting there. It's just going to be
The
a
seeds are
slower, a
planted.
slower. Yeah, the seeds are planted, and it's going to be a slow process. But yeah, I do think that this year's Showcase feud, now that we're done with Okada Tanahashi, is that it has to be Okada Naito, because that's where it's just kind of been heading towards.
Yeah, so where do you think, do you still see this being the Tokyo Dome main event?
I do, and I still see it as being Naito the champion against Okada the challenger, too.
Okay.
I still see that.
So you okay, I could see that. That's interesting. Okay. So you think Okada's gonna win G1 and then use the briefcase and win it back at Wrestle Kingdom?
That's what I do think, yes.
Okay, yeah, that makes
That,
sense.
so which means Naito's probably gonna, if he doesn't take it an invasion attack, he might take out a Dominion.
Yeah, that actually could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it has to, that which will prompt Okada to win G1. So, but I mean, we are, way out for that. We're about 10 months away from that. So, I mean, a lot can happen before then. So,
How about that Shoten counter into the Destino?
that was great.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
That was great.
I'm really coming around on the Destino
Well, you
in
notice
terms of
that. Well,
maneuverability.
that finish was custom designed to counter Rainmaker, if you hadn't noticed.
Yeah, no, we've talked about that.
Yeah, we have. So I think we're going to see that in action coming up soon. You did also notice evil Takaaki, former Ring of Honor excursion-y Takaaki Watanabe was taunting Ishii with that, that bugbear Ring of Honor TV title too. Yesterday.
Yeah, did we talk about that earlier? He actually
No.
got the pin over Ishii
Yeah, he
to
did.
set that up.
Yeah, he did. So yeah, that's that may be incoming. When and where, who knows? So anyway, so yeah, so all hail the new Japan Cup winner Tetsuya Naito, and he's moving on to, yeah, after being goaded into it, challenging Kazuchika Okada at Invasion Attack on April the 10th. From Sumo Hall. Again, I say if Naito doesn't win it here, he's probably going to win it at like Dominion in July. So, I think I don't know if they haven't officially booked yet, but Shibata against Kojima for the Never Openweight Belt. Where do you see that one going?
I mean, I would assume Shibata's gonna win. It would make sense for Nagata to follow suit and challenge, so Shibata winning would make the most sense to keep that chain going.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, I guess that's what they're gonna give the third generation to do now is go for the Never belt, because let's face it, they need new people challenging for that, because it can't just be Ishii, Makabe, and Honma ad infinitum.
Yeah, it just further asks the question, what is the point of this championship? It used to be for the younger generation, and now we have the older generation trying to win it now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we kind of asked the point of that too for those six-man belts that they hot shotted. Yeah, and we pretty much declared those as comedy belts at this point. And he's only ever
And we haven't been proven to be wrong yet.
not yet. No, there's still time, but yeah.
Although that match on the ROH show is really good, though.
You heard Chris and I discuss this. We did not think that Matt Sydal was going to get up for a few minutes after that German from Omega onto the ramp.
I know. Yeah, that looked brutal.
It did. It really did. And then Makabe and Honma against Tonga and Camacho. Maybe Kushida and Will Ospreay. That's where we are for Invasion Attack. For right now, we don't know because nothing's been announced. So, which means probably the second we post this is when they're going to announce all the cards. So we could have held off
That
on
is,
our
that's
analysis.
usually how it happens, sadly.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are you going to do? It start the Road to Invasion Attack starts on the 19th, this coming Saturday. And of course, none of it's gonna be on. Nothing's gonna be on New Japan World until the Korakuen Hall show on the 27th, which is 2 weeks from today. So we're gonna be without seeing any new Japan until the 27th. Invasion Attack happens on, I believe that's a Sunday. Yeah, it's a Sunday, April the 10th from Tokyo Ryogoku.
Gokugeki Kan. There you go.
Kokubikan. Yeah. One of these days I'm gonna remember my Japanese one of these days. So that's where we're at for right now. I mean, there really isn't much else to go over as far as new Japan stuff. There's been no new contract crises. What did you think? We Chris and I discussed this last week, but about both Ibushi and the president, Tezuka, resigning within 24 hours.
Yeah, that was very, very interesting. I don't know. I don't know what Ibushi's really where his head's at. He quit New Japan and DDT, so it kind of tells you that maybe he just couldn't decide.
Yeah, but he's still working DDT on next Monday.
Yeah, and I
At
think
their
he's
Sumo Hall show.
and the door's still open for him to work in New Japan, as far as I know.
But I mean, he's also been announced now. He's going to be at Pro Wrestling Evolve, their event, during WrestleMania weekend down in Dallas.
Yeah, I believe he's actually working also with the Kaiju Big Battle.
Oh yeah, I did hear that, but I don't know all the details about that one. But yeah, I
Oh,
did.
you haven't seen the poster that they made that they released?
Well, I saw the poster, but I didn't see a date or location on it. Maybe
Oh,
I
yeah.
just didn't see it. Yeah, and Kaiju Big Battle is huge fun. I love Kaiju Big Battle.
Yeah, it's very
I
interesting.
remember
It's
when
fun.
I yeah, well, that's another thing. Yeah, I remember when that was starting up.
Yeah.
And it was that was some fun stuff. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, what about the president resigning? Because I took the point that I thought, some places were reporting that it was more of a retirement than a resignation, and it just seemed like that was not the case because I just think it was too coincidental, and with all the departures for him to be saying, "Yep, mission accomplished, time to go." What?
Yeah, the timing makes you think, especially considering the Japan's culture. You know, they're very, if something goes wrong, someone has to take the blame.
Yeah,
So
and
it definitely gives you that thought that maybe they're using him as a scapegoat. Excuse me, my mouth is very parched right now.
yeah, and drink.
Oh, people are gonna hate
Okay,
that.
there we go. But yeah, so yeah, the yeah, but I mean, there's been no new crises, at least not that we know of, since then. So. At least we got that. We have that going for us. So the last thing I think that I wanted to bring up that we missed from that I actually kind of forgot from last time. What do you think? Jim Ross has now debuted on New Japan on Access, and we're now 2 episodes into his run on the show. Have you seen any have you watched any of the episodes yet?
Actually, I haven't.
You have not. Okay.
I was going to ask you if you had actually.
Well, yeah, I watch it, semi-regularly. Not exactly every week, but I record it, so I have. Yeah, so I've seen Jim Ross so far. He still needs to he still needs to be broken in a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still Jim Ross. He knows how to call a match, but some of the specifics, the things that are specific to New Japan, he's not quite there yet.
Yeah, I don't expect he's very well versed on the moves.
Well, I mean, at least he's better than Kevin Kelly, to be quite frank. Now, mind you, he doesn't because Kevin Kelly doesn't have Josh Barnett, kind of leading him either. Because
Yeah.
I've known.
How is Josh actually? How is Josh as a color guy?
He's all right. I think sometimes some of the he has some off-color jokes that I really think kind of detract from it at times. But he, I mean, it's obvious. Mauro Ranallo was definitely the better, play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
He's definitely more suited for New Japan. JR, though, I mean, I still think he. I mean, he has room to learn. I mean, he did. He's doing okay. I mean, he's doing about as well as he did when he called Wrestle Kingdom 9 back in January 2015. Yeah, again, he still needs to be to get brushed up on some of the specifics for New Japan, which again, there's the saying about old dogs and new tricks. Now his biggest test is going to be coming up, though, I think. This week, because this coming week's episode is going to start doing last year's Best of the Super Junior tournament. And if you recall from the Wrestle Kingdom 9 broadcast that JR and Matt Stryker did, this was kind of where JR fumbled a little bit, was with the junior heavyweights. Like he couldn't keep up with them.
Well, if I remember right, the match, like one of the matches he had the biggest trouble with was the multi-man junior IWGP junior tag match.
Yeah, the opening match
And
of the show, yeah.
he's not going to be, he's probably not going to be obviously not calling those matches. They're going to be singles matches. So while still fast, the pace should be hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, he's still definitely more suited for heavyweight.
Yeah, he's more of a story guy. He's a guy that, he knows the story. He can lay it out for you as a viewer. He's not so much a calling a, spot for spot, move for move,
Yeah, no, I
like a
mean,
Joey Styles or a Marlon.
right, and you know, and fair play. I mean, every announcer has their own style. I mean, I think we got lucky. We did get somebody of his caliber to call New Japan on Access in the wake of Mauro Ranallo leaving, but he definitely still has a learning curve
Oh yeah.
here, which again, I'm willing I'm willing to give him a break on. Now, if we're 10 episodes in and he's still making some of the same fumbles, then yeah, maybe we have an issue. But this is only, his second episode only broadcast this weekend. So far, I mean, it still matches. It's still, the same matches. It's still the same show. It's just a different commentator. For what that's
Yeah,
worth.
that's part of the problem and why I haven't gone back and watched all of them, because it's, in my head it's matches I've seen already more than once.
Right. Yeah, and that's true too. Yeah, because now we are starting to get to, now we're getting to last year's matches. So, I mean, yeah, there is a little bit of familiarity here already. So now that
But,
all,
these shows aren't for us. They're for the masses, so.
that's true, and I'm glad that that shows here because it's a good introduction. I think it's helped get New Japan, more exposure here in the U.S.
I don't know if you guys heard or talked about it last week, but they were actually giving out little pamphlets for New Japan World and advertising the Access show.
Yeah, I
So
saw you.
they're actually really putting in work.
Yeah, I saw you. I saw you have. I saw you had. You posted a picture of it, or somebody did. I thought it was you.
Yeah, they offer were offering they were offering they were offering free trials, which was useless to me since I already have a subscription.
Yeah, me too. So yeah, that's yeah. I mean, and that's great, and I'm glad that Ring of Honor allowed that to be out there. So anyway, that's all I got today. Is there anything you want to discuss that we haven't brought up?
The only thing that I want to talk about, and it's not really much to talk about, is just I really enjoyed, I loved the pop that Okada and Goto got from their handshake. Like, I
Oh
talked about it a
yeah,
little bit on Twitter, but
we haven't even talked about that yet, have we?
yeah, like, for just a simple storyline of, you didn't know if Okada was trolling Goto or if he was actually being earnest and offering his hand, and I mean that got a huge pop. Like, I'm talking like Austin Rock era pop.
Yeah, that was yeah, that there was that. So, I mean, now whether or not that actually means that Goto's not an invested member of Chaos is another story.
That's where I'm confused. Like, I haven't seen anything formally that says he's a member of Chaos, but if that was the whole point of the handshake, right? That was Okada offering Goto, a spot in Chaos.
I thought so,
So
yeah.
that's gonna be an interesting forward to see play out.
Yeah,
I'm
I
back.
mean yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. Definitely. But I mean, we since we still have no idea what's happening as yet regarding Invasion Attack. I mean, it's everything's wide open at this point. So stay tuned to the blog for updates on Road to Invasion Attack. Now, of course, this coming weekend, I actually will not be updating the blog. It probably won't be until late Sunday or even Monday morning, the 21st, when I'm going to be updating after Thursday because I'm going to be out of town. So just FYI, but you can check it out. Strongstylestory.tumblr.com is the blog address, which is probably how most of you found this podcast, but. There's also Twitter. We're also at Strong Style with the E off the end story. So Strong Still Story, I guess, is how you can say it. Just Strong Style Story with no E after style because, Twitter username limits. So. So that's all I have. Steve, are you good here?
Yeah, I'm good. You can follow me at Steve Cash.
At
Got to
Steve
get that
Cash.
in there.
And yep, and Cristomassino, who's at Brazilian Fury, was not here today. He should be back for next show. We haven't really set a date yet, and so the next recording we'll announce on the blog, and we'll spring it on you. It's kind of a short one today because there's not much else to report. No new crises to discuss at length. So here we are. So that's that. Hope everyone enjoyed the New Japan Cup. Hope everyone will enjoy the Road to Invasion Attack, and we should talk again before the actual Invasion Attack show. So sometime before April 10th is when we're going to record next. So until then, for Steve Cash, I'm Jeffrey Wessel. Hope you enjoyed the show. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.
「正義なんてもう」